time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
Will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawrence.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader.
It's the best introduction in the history of baseball. It is.
You have it on your phone yet when I call you?
Oh, can we do that, Allie? Can you get that on my phone? All right. We're doing that.
Get that done.
Oh, come on. That's the best ever.
It's an MP3, Marty. That's how that works. We can do it.
Can we do it?
We'll throw it in your iTunes. Yeah, that's how that happens.
And you get on my phone,
too? We can do it. You can listen all off-season, whenever you want.
I love it. Yeah. It's the best. All right. I'm Ron Wotus is here, the professor, third base coach for the Giants. I'm going to read something from Bart Giamatti. And, of course, it's the end of the season. It's one of his famous little ditties that he wrote in his book. And it really, I think, sets the tone for what's going to happen today. Baseball, it breaks your heart. It's designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else blooms again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone. You count on it, rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive. And then just when the days are all twilight, when you need it the most, it stops. Today, a Sunday of rain and broken branches and leaf-clogged drains and slick streets. It stopped, and summer was officially gone. How about that, Will?
It really is something. It sums a lot of things up, doesn't it? And it's reminded me that with all the oak trees I have, I need to clean my drain because it might get rain week, honestly. But, you know, I think how we started that off really touched me. Baseball, it breaks your heart. And that's kind of, you know, the way we feel today. We've been playing the Dodgers here, trying to, you know, give our best effort to play the best we could to beat the Dodgers, to win a game. And yesterday was a tremendous game until the eighth it got away from us. And that's the excitement you like to have when you take the baseball field. But now we're on the other side of it. We've had a lot of success here. And when you mention break your heart, you know, that's a feeling that you get when you have a season like we're having.
It was a heck of a game yesterday. It was a lot of fun, and I think maybe your best game of the year. And let me say this before we go further. You've had a tremendous season. And we started the show in February talking to you, and I got to see a little bit of you before you got so busy with spring training. We had our traditional sushi dinner to start the spring training. But I think you've had a hell of a year, and I thought yesterday really was just the epitome of it because you had guys running all over the place with a lot of speed. You had a day yesterday.
Well, thank you, Marty. I appreciate that. I've been very fortunate over there. Yesterday there were, you know, some close plays. We did have speed. We wanted to be aggressive. You know, we haven't pounded the ball, so you got to try to get the runner in whenever you can. And that's the excitement of coaching third base. I have enjoyed that, and I feel very fortunate that, you know, those guys were safe because it's a game of inches. It's just like when you hit a line drive and it's right at the fielder or it's a few feet away. It can go either way, so someone's looking out for me. And as you said, it was a fun game to be a part of until late in the game yesterday.
Marty and I were kind of joking before the show, and I just did with you, that it's sort of like that last day of school feeling. And Marty said it doesn't hit him until the day after, when you wake up and there's not going to be Giants baseball tomorrow. Does that feeling happen for you at some point? I know it's kind of a relief at some point. You've been grinding and so locked in all season. But at some point, you start to get that itch to come back, right?
No doubt. I think that, you know, you have a lull in your life. As soon as it's over, you know, there's it depends how you do. If you're coming off a win or you're coming off a World Series, you're ecstatic. Yeah. You know, you're walking on cloud nine. It's the parade. You go home. You feel great. You can't wait to see your friends. You're exhausted. You lay on your couch. You watch some of the replays of the games because you got a different perspective on it when you saw it, right? But now you get to see some of them on TV and soak it all up again. When you're on the other side, it's hard. It's a bitter pill to swallow. You feel like you haven't accomplished what you want. There's an empty feeling. and you just don't feel as good about yourself. And it takes you some time, you know, once you start reintroducing yourself to your family and friends and getting to see some people and do some things you haven't done, that you start to relax and enjoy the winter.
Do you ever, it's a good question by Adam, do you ever go back after a game and look at some of the sends you've had? And you've had, as I say, I don't know what your percentage is, and you got one more day today. I don't want to say anything, but it's been...
Thank you.
I can't think of too many that didn't work out, and I mean that. But do you ever go back and look at it and say, wow, you know, this is what I saw, and I'm glad I did this or didn't do this?
No, I haven't. I mean, I've seen some replays, you know, and I'll be on the Internet here and there or on my phone, you know, some I'm reading some articles they have, you know, on the Giants website. They'll put some stuff up. I'll take a look, but I haven't gone too often. Maybe once or twice to see where the runner was at and the decision that I made. But, you know, you're in the moment, and you have to move forward. We play this game every day, so I haven't spent a whole lot of time taking a look at it.
Well, yesterday, just to dwell a little bit more on yesterday, one of the most exciting games of the year, honestly. I thought it was great coming back, scoring runs, guys running all over the place. The kid, Avellino, going head first into the plate. How about that? But Pence maybe took the cake yesterday on the fly ball to left field. And, you know, I said, well, maybe it'll drop. But he had no problem. He was gone.
Yeah, he was gone. He had a great read on it. As I said, I think he, you know, he's a very aggressive and assertive individual. He wants to score when he's on the bases. You know, there's no stopping him. You know, I just got in the clubhouse about an hour ago, and I was in there, you know, grabbing a donut here for breakfast, and Hunter's sitting there with his Tasmanian devil coffee cup with a full cup of coffee. That's probably his fifth one, and he's probably going to have a lot more before the game starts, and that's his attitude, that's his approach, and it was a good read by him. There's no way I could have stopped him. Once Peterson dove for the ball and was on the ground with his speed, he's going to keep coming, and it's nice to have players with that speed because you can force the issue. If you can't run, if that's anybody else, you may have to hold them up, even though the fielder dove for the ball. He bounced up and made a throw, and Hunter was in there easy.
What do you think of Avellino? I haven't seen much of him. You've worked with him as shortstop. You told me he is a shortstop. Give me a little scouting report on Avellino. What do you say?
Well, I like what I see. I like the way he goes about it. Obviously, he was cut his teeth with the Yankees and was developed by them, so he seems to have a professional approach. He does his work. The skills are there to be a defensive shortstop, an everyday big league shortstop. He's got a tremendous arm, above average arm. He has some speed. He's got average range, maybe better. You know, I haven't seen him in game situations, so it's hard to judge that for me just in practice. But he has all the tools, good hands, and I think, you know, the bat is going to be the key for, like, any young player. How much he's able to hit is going to determine how quickly he can get to the big leagues and stay in the big leagues.
I think we like seeing players like Hunter Pence, you mentioned, with the personality. And yesterday we kind of saw that from Avellino when he slid across home plate. What can you tell us about a guy we haven't seen much on the field, but just about the character of when he plays the game?
Well, he's pretty quiet, you know, actually. He was nervous. Look, he started the other night here at home, and he had an error early in the game. And as a young player, and we've talked about this a lot, this is not an easy place to play with the wet, the damp, the wind, the cold, the fans. You know, it's a full house. And you know, one of your first starts, he started in San Diego, but it's a totally different atmosphere here. So he was a little bit nervous, and then he got a hit and made some plays, and he kind of relaxed. Yeah. And that's what you want to see, you know, how a guy reacts to this environment and how he handles maybe failure and how he responds to it. So far, he's passed all the tests.
Yeah, good. I like him. I like
too.
The speed. I like the dynamic part of his game. I love the way he slides over the plate. And I like the way he warms up before he gets an at-bat. How about that?
I think Carmen and Allie like that, huh? You see him squat down on his knees like that? I've never seen anybody do that. So that's very unique. I just hope he don't hurt himself doing that.
Well, he's a yoga guy. Sounds like a yoga guy.
Okay.
All right. The professor is with us this morning, of course, as we... this will be our last show, and you'll hear me tonight, Carmen and Allie tonight, and then our voices will be the first you'll hear February 23rd when spring training starts again. So what a cycle of baseball. Isn't it something?
That's amazing. You know, I don't know, Marty, why you don't come on a couple times in the winter just to touch base with everybody. They have all the other shows. I think that, you know, sometimes before the holidays and sometimes before the spring, you ought to check in with us. Everybody loves what you do. I've enjoyed being here and talking baseball with you, and I think that'd be a good thing. I think people are going to really be missing you this winter, Marty.
Well, we're going to do the podcast. Okay. Now you'll be able to hear it. You'll have some time over the winter. Mid-inning relief, which you can hear on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Anything else? Tune in as well. So we'll send you the podcast,
right,
which we have a lot of fun doing.
Yeah, I heard part of one. I really enjoyed it, and it was great to hear Allie and Carmen, you know, with their airtime, giving their opinions. It was great. I enjoyed it.
It's good stuff. There was a play the other day. Let's go to school a little bit with the professor. Big kid for the Padres, the right fielder. He gets hit by the ball. A ground ball is going up the middle. Looked like a base hit, which would have been a big deal at the moment it happened. I don't know if Craw would have gotten there or not. But he got hit on the heel by the baseball, and I said to myself, how does that happen? Well, you know, because the ball bounced a lot before it hit him. Well, what goes on there?
Well, that's just it. I mean, if the ball's hit like a rocket, I can attest to that. I mean, I've been in the field. I've been hit before. Yeah, usually first or second, the ball's a bullet. And, you know, you just can't avoid it. It's kind of like coaching third right now when Longoria hits a missile down at you and you see coaches getting hit. Sometimes, you know, that ball's hooking. You think you're going to avoid it, but you don't. And the same thing happens to a base runner, especially if you're thinking if you're in, you know, mid-stride.
Yeah.
And now you have to try to avoid this ball either by slowing up or speeding up or jumping. And honestly, if it's hit with any velocity, it's a little more difficult than it probably looks.
And the other thing I thought about, again, I go back to when I grew up, you know, and you know, and I learned the nuances of the game, because that's the way the game was played when I grew up. You know, you had hit behind the runner. If there's a runner at second, no, and you made sure you got him to third.
You played the game the right way, Martin.
Well, that's the way we learned. Honestly, on a Sunday morning, the older men played softball and in Miami Beach, and they played the game just as I'm describing it, the way the game had to be played in those days. And I remember that if a ball was hit in your path, you jumped over it.
Right.
Or you stopped. And I've seen it in the big leagues. How do you teach that to somebody?
Well, we don't spend a lot of time teaching how to avoid the ball, because there's so many different scenarios. Is it a bounding ball? Is it on the ground? I think you summed it up. It's more of an instinctive play. You know, when you're running, knowing where the ball is hit, sometimes guys are in their stride. They see the ball hit, and they take their eye off it. Not in that instance. I just think he couldn't avoid it. So it's one of those things that I don't think you can teach. I think it's instinct and it's each individual player to try to get out of the way of that ball.
All right. I liked it. I like the play because it's always a distraction. I was always taught distract the infielder.
Right. That's what I thought.
You know,
so I was
jump
gonna,
over the ball or do something. And you see it here to avoid a double play sometimes.
That's where it's most common, right? The ball's hit to the second baseman, and then the runner at first, you know, will slow down because he doesn't want to get hit by the ball. But then again, he's going to be out at second. You know, it's a difficult play, actually, because you want to keep running because they're going to get you at second. But sometimes you have to slow down to avoid the ball. And you don't want to risk jumping over it because you don't know where it's going to bounce. So it is a difficult play.
I love it. It was a good. I like it. I like baseball plays like that. I like it. The other thing I saw the other day, and you work so hard and you've got gold glovers all over your career, but you're working with Garcia at first base, and you're standing at third base with the fungo, and you're hitting shots at him at first base, but not to catch grounders, but to pick them.
Right.
And you're very accurate, I must tell you, you know, to give him that hop. Well, how about that drill, and how's he doing with it?
Yeah, he's done great. You know, I can't throw the ball very good anymore, so he used to get real close and throw it, but I like to use the fungo. It's a little easier on the body. And, you know, even if you hit a ground ball, for those coaches out there, you're still going to get different hops, and he still has to work on the mechanics. So even if you hit a ground ball to him at first, he's got to stretch at the right time, and he's got to use the glove and pick it with the proper fundamentals. So it doesn't always have to be the perfect in-between hop with the fungo, and they can get a lot out of it. The other thing is you get the speed of the throw, which is a little better than throwing it from a close distance sometime. It's easier to pick it throwing from a close distance. So I like the fungo. It's a little more difficult. And he's done great. I've tabbed him the pick master, a la Ryan Klesko. That was his nickname. He had it on his glove at first base, the pick pick master.
And he was an outfielder first.
Yeah, he was an outfielder. Yeah, yeah. And I he's done a nice job. I think he's picked six or seven balls in the dirt.
He's looked good over there.
And,
stretches.
Yeah. He has some experience. He's played there a little bit as a catcher. He's probably got 20, 30 games at first base. And to do what he's doing is not easy. Yeah. To come to the big leagues and go at that position where he doesn't have a lot of experience and do what he's done. So I've been extremely happy with how hard he works, because he works hard at it. Yeah. He does everything you want. He'll come out early. He has a great routine. He'll take his ground balls. He throws a second. He works on the picks. Then he goes out and takes balls live off the bat, which you need to do when you're learning a new position, because the fungo comes at one speed. And then in batting practice, when you stand down there and let Crawford and these lefties hit balls at you, it's a totally different spin and play.
Right, great, great insight. Very good insight. Did you ever hear Jimmy Reese? Remember Jimmy Reese?
I know the name, but I don't recall him.
Coach for the Angels. He was Babe Ruth's roommate, when he played. And he coined the phrase that I didn't really room with Babe Ruth, I roomed with his suitcase.
Yeah.
You know,
because
he was never in the room. But he was the master with the fungo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember
the
story.
Yes, I do remember him.
He would pitch batting practice with a fungo.
Yep.
That's how good he was. How do you learn to do that?
Well, you take so many swings. I mean, like Bill Hayes and I did one year, we counted up how many throws we made. We did it, not an exact science, kind of like the defensive run saves. It's not an exact science, but we would, we threw BP one day and we counted all our throws and we multiplied that by the games. And, Sunday we don't take BP and we came up with the number. But we've all tried it with the fungo. I've tried it on the mound.
Have you?
To try to hit batting practice. Not with a hitter in there, but try to hit strikes to see how accurate you can be. And, Marty, if you do something enough and you think about, we've been doing this since high school and every single day, you'd be surprised how good you can become at something by just doing the reps.
Repetition.
A lot of people,
yep.
When we say fungo, they don't know what we're talking about. We have a lot of people who just listen to the professor, who go to school. What is a fungo? Can you explain it
just
briefly?
Well, it's a fungo bat. So when we hit ground balls to the infielders, they have a regular bat that they use, maybe, 34 inches, 32 ounces. The fungo bat is a lot lighter. It's built a little different. It could be skinnier, easier to handle. Sometimes they're short. Sometimes they're long. They have longer bats they use hit to the outfield. And sometimes there's shorter ones for the infielder. So there's all different types of fungo, but they're lighter is the main thing. And they're a little easier to swing. If we had to use a regular baseball bat to hit ground balls, my arms would fall off. Let's just say that.
Well, and Marty, that's a good bit. Like, it probably doesn't work when you get to the majors anymore, but like in high school, you have a freshman kid come up and you tell him to go grab the left-handed fungo, or the left-handed footballs or stuff like that. It's a good tool to use with amateurs or rookies.
No doubt. That's a good bit. That's like the keys of
the batter's box.
Exactly. It's the same thing. And I love it when you get a greenhorn comes running up to you. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, every once in a while, absolutely. You'll see a bat boy come running up to you. Where's the key to the batter's box, sir?
The left-handed fungo?
Yeah, and then what you do, you send them to somebody else.
Right.
And he's going on for an hour trying to find this darn thing. So he finally comes up to somebody that feels sorry for him and says, listen, and he explains the joke.
I love it. Very good. Ron Wotus with us, of course, the third base coach of the professor. We asked a question on the podcast the other day, and I asked on the air. We sort of had fun with it. And, we've seen this park 2000. It opened up, and here we are, the conclusion of the 2018 season. And we kind of talked about our favorite quirk of the ballpark. Now, you've been in every ballpark in the major leagues, and what's your favorite quirk of this? It could be anything of this ballpark. What's your favorite thing about this ballpark?
Well, it's hard to identify a particular quirk about the park, but I just think the atmosphere, people love coming to this ballpark. I was talking to JT Turner, the third baseman for the Dodgers, yesterday. He was asking me questions about how many home runs does this park take away. And then he mentioned how much he enjoys coming here. He loves the atmosphere. He loves the energy. He loves the fans. He loves everything about it except trying to hit home runs here, because he just, hit a couple balls pretty good that are out at Dodger Stadium. So I think the beauty of it, and when you look, like last night, I looked up again, and we had that great crowd and great energy. That's what I remember mostly. And, you know, I guess you could say the right field wall if you wanted to pinpoint.
Hey, that's what I picked.
That's me too.
Yeah,
that's what I picked.
Because, you got the chain link, you have the brick, and it's a nightmare, actually, for the fielder.
Yeah.
But it's exciting, even as a third base coach. Anytime that ball goes off the wall, it could go right to the fielder. It could kick 30 yards away, and now here the runner comes. So I think it brings a lot of excitement to the game.
Yeah, that's what I picked.
Yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
I picked the same thing. I love the 24 feet high. I love the green awning. I like that Machado yesterday thought he got one, and he got AT&T. That's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
Hit off the top of the bricks there.
Yeah. What about Rusty? You guys didn't like Rusty?
Rusty was interesting, but Rusty's deceased.
Okay.
He's no longer here. Someone said the other day, I think it was Nick Hundley, we may play it this morning. I'll give it away, though. He said he loves the mist, the fog coming in.
Oh.
And he loves it coming in over the right field wall. And he loves the full moon rising above it. And he feels like he's in a Batman movie.
Okay.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
You know what it is, because there's some beautiful moons. I always see it when it comes up there. Man, it's, yeah, what a view we get from
the
dugout.
He's in a good place for that, too, in the squad back there watching the fog coming over the wall.
Yeah, Will Smith got the Willie Mack Award. What was your take on that?
Well deserved. I think that was a great pick by his teammates. You know, that's one award that, you know, is usually, there could be multiple guys some years, but the players get it right. I mean, that's their teammate. You know, they know the guy better than anybody, and they usually get that pick. They usually nail it. And Will Smith, what he's done on the field, you know, he's never been a closer. Coming off Tommy John surgery, I mean, come on. And then to be the closer and do what he did, talk about performance. But just the person himself, he's so positive. Players love him. Coaches love him. I don't ever hear anybody say a bad word about Will Smith. He's a great leader for us.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Looking at a little bit of yesterday still, Kershaw. You guys got to Kershaw. You know, I had to do my keys to the game. The key of the game for me with Kershaw is get him in a long inning.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow something happens
right.
If you get him in a long inning. But you guys got 5 runs off Kershaw yesterday.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, no, we've over the years he's got us certainly more than we've gotten him. But we have had our moments with him. And, it's like any great pitcher, you know. You still have to execute pitches. That's why it makes some of these guys, they're so good because the numbers that they put up, you know, the limited mistakes. But, hey, you still got to make your pitches. And if you don't make your pitches, major league hitters can hit you. And we were able to do that yesterday and push some runs across. Which made it a good game, but we just couldn't hold them down.
Yeah, Panic had a nice game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
A couple of nice hits.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to talk about. You know, I know Dwayne listens to our show. You know, we never teach him anything coming in. You know, we know that.
Chance.
No way. But there are the double plays in this series. The second baseman has been terrific. I want to tell you, the 5 you hit into on Friday night, those turns at second base. I forget who was even there for the Dodgers on Friday night. But then the ones you guys turn, the key is that turn at second. You get that throw, and maybe talk about that just a little bit. You know, there have been double plays. I say, no chance.
Right.
And boy, panic. These guys just turn them.
Yeah. Well, those are the things that stand out when you have a second baseman like Dwayne Kuiper with great hands that can turn the double, quickly transfer the ball from him to first. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah.
It's like they never catch the ball or touch it. It's on its way. And that's a big part of it. But it even starts before that. And I think the number one thing for coaches and players is the feed. Because Dwayne will tell you, if you get a good chest-high feed on a double play, you can turn it. If they make a throw low where they handcuff you by your belt or down below, messes up your footwork, you can't transfer it from glove to hand as quickly, or a high throw, the whole rhythm is off. So the key for us is we like to tell our guys, the feed is take your time, secure the ball. I'd rather have you take longer securing the ball as a shortstop and give him a perfect feed because he'll make up the time on the turn. But if you give him a bad feed, you're losing way more time than if you make a good feed.
Now, you were a Pirate in your playing days. Did you ever meet Mazeroski?
No, I did not.
Because the thing with him, if you look at the old films of Mazeroski, It looks like the ball never touched his glove.
Right, right.
That's how fast he got rid of it. That's what made him a Hall of Famer, other than the home run he hit.
Yeah, other than that. Yeah, no, well, you're exactly right. It's a great thing to watch. And that's the thing you're always working on, right? You get that pancake glove.
Yeah.
You get the ball. You don't catch it. You don't squeeze it. It just deflects off your palm and goes into your throwing hand, so it's really not a catch. That's why I always argue when the second baseman drops the ball, they said, you know, he caught it. No, he didn't catch it. He's just deflecting it. If you deflect it off your glove hand and it doesn't secure into your throwing hand, you never had control, reasonable control of it, right? Yeah. I could take my hand and knock the ball down with my glove. Is that a catch? No, you have to make the exchange.
Yeah.
And they usually ring him up, said, no, he was pulling it out of his glove.
Yeah.
He was transferring. He was pulling it out. He never squeezed the glove. It's just a deflection.
Do guys ever do that thing where they catch it on the outside, or is it always?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean, is on the transfer where it's almost never a catch. You actually do just pin the ball against your mitt, and you pull it back, and you've got something to throw.
And that's what you do on the double play.
Right.
And same thing. Yeah, guys still do that play and catch. They'll catch it on the outside, you know, the back of their
just
fingers.
Just sort of practicing getting the... Yeah, exactly, on the back end.
They do it for fun, just to look cool. But we have the pancake glove.
Right,
you ever see
the flat one?
Mitt,
yeah.
Yeah, we bring that out for guys that don't use their two hands. Work together, you know, the glove hand and the free hand are too far apart. You give them the pancake glove because you can't squeeze it, right? Miguel Tejada used to use that taking ground balls. It forces you to use your two hands together, and it helps you realize that you don't squeeze the ball. You just deflect it into the other hand.
Ah, very good. Who's the best? Well, you've talked about shortstops. I think Vizquel was the one that you always liked being the defensive shortstop. What about a defensive second baseman? On that kind of play, who's the guy that could turn it that you always thought, wow, that's pretty good?
Well, I think, you know, Joe Panik has been good as any of them. His transfer is tremendous. You know, I'm going to leave somebody off here, but, you know, believe it or not, Jeff Kent had a great double play because he had a strong arm. You know, he came over the top and he'd make that turn. He'd come across the base with that strong arm, and he was very, very good at it. And the other thing that made him good is he hung in there. You know, today the runner can't hit the fielder, but back in the day, when those runners come in to take you out, there were certain fielders that didn't want to have any part of that. And, you know, they're trying to get out of the way of the runner more than they are concerned about turning the double play. And they weren't as good. But Jeff Kent, he stood in there, and he was going to turn the double play, regardless if he got knocked on his butt or not.
How about Freddie Sanchez?
Freddie Sanchez was good.
He
was good. He very reliable, sure-handed fielder. But I think what hurt him a little bit, like it can some other second basemen, he didn't have that powerful arm.
Exactly.
So he had the great hands, and if you can have the great hands with a good, strong arm, that puts you at another level.
Yeah, I know you vote on the gold gloves, and we're going to talk some defensive metrics here in a minute, but a second baseman today in baseball, who saves all the runs? Who's your second baseman that you like? Javi Baez, maybe, of the Cubs? Who's your guy at second base these days?
Yeah, well, Javi Baez, you can't deny what he does. You know, very flamboyant. He can make all the plays on the field. He's a great tagger, right? They're talking about the way he tags.
It's unbelievable the way he tags.
It really is. He's very quick, athletic. You know, he's got the range. He has the arm. But some of the most consistent guys in this league have been DJ LeMahieu with Colorado.
Okay.
He doesn't look like he has great range, but he has those long legs. He's kind of a tall, easy strides. He gets to the ball. Every time we hit a ball to him, I never see him miscue anything. So he's at the top of the list for second basemen in this league. You know, the kid Kelton Wong has got pretty good skills. He's improved his range, but he's had troubles over the years on making routine plays and having lapses on his defense. So LeMahieu and, as you're saying, Baez are probably the two tops right now at the position.
You know, it made me think about yesterday because David Freese smoked one yesterday when Melanson was in 3-1 pitch. It looked like he was going to walk in a run and everyone was going to just go nuts. And he got a pitch and Freese just crushed it, but right at Panik. But you and I chatted about this. You had Freese pegged correctly and defended correctly.
Well, you know, we go over that before the game. We've seen it. We've watched his video against Melanson. But, you know, in the moment, you have spray charts on the bench, and you can't always rely on spray charts. You rely on the player's instinct. And Joe knows that this is a guy, Freeze, that will hit the ball the other way as well. But I looked down at the spray chart and against Melanson, and he had three balls. Out of five at-bats, he had three balls that he put in play right where Joe was standing.
Wow, very good.
So, you know, you put it together that Melanson's going to throw that cutter away. Well, what's Freeze? He goes to right field. That cutter away, it's very difficult to pull, so you worry that he's going to hit it there, and sure enough, he looks down and confirms what you're thinking, and, you know, that's where the information even comes in. It comes in more handy, if that's, I can say more handy, but it confirms that, you know what you're thinking is correct. It's right there on paper, so that's where it really helps.
I was going to say, you must have felt pretty good when that happened.
Well, you always do when the bases are loaded and the ball's hit at somebody. I mean, hey, you feel real good. And the players do. And the players use their own instincts, and that's the key. They use their instincts in the moment. You know, on the other side of that, you can't look at a piece of paper and say, oh, because the last 2 years he's hit, you know, 50% of his balls were hit there. You can't necessarily play him over there because you're reading the swing. It's a different pitcher on the mound, righty, lefty, what's the pitch. So some pitchers are easier to defend than other because they pitch in a consistent manner, and other guys are tougher to defend because, you know, they're pitching in and out, they're throwing slow breaking balls. So Mariano Rivera, you know, great, one of the greatest closers, if not the greatest of all time, with that cutter, he was easy to defend, to play behind, because you knew what pitch he was going to throw and what they were going to do with it.
Yeah. Jansen probably is similar, huh?
Very similar because of that cutter. He does that. You know, they may pull a curveball, but yeah, I bet the Dodgers, they know exactly where they're going to hit the ball with Jansen, him throwing that hard cutter he throws.
Boy, interesting. Well, that's good baseball. Good baseball. That's good baseball. It really is the essence of baseball. All right, we'll take a break. Well, hang in a couple more minutes?
Yeah, a couple more minutes.
All right,
I got to get rolling.
All right, we'll take a break. I want to talk about some defensive metrics. There's some good opinions on that. And also these wild card games. You've been through a couple of them on the road. We could see a crazy week of baseball coming up here. I know baseball is going to be very nervous if somehow the Cubs or Dodgers or Yankees get knocked out before this thing really gets underway, which could happen. But I don't want to get your feelings about that wild card, and we'll do that when we come back right after this.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680. These